When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
What is the science that Governor Pritzker believes in? He believes in the science of polls, of polling. And like most COVIDians, he believed the fear porn in the media and the weakness that constant fear produces in the human animal because it served his purpose. And his purpose was control. And most of us forgot who we were and who we are. We forgot that Americans were once risk takers. And so we put those babies in those flimsy cotton masks that science now tells us don't work. The masks that served as signs of fealty. The mask that said, I obey. But they don't work. They don't stop airborne viruses. And some people kept the masks on so their children, well, they didn't do it because they wanted to hurt their children, but their children couldn't see the teacher's face. Not even those kids with learning disabilities and speech pathologies. And let me tell you, as the father of a teacher and the husband of a teacher, when a little child with learning disabilities and speech pathology cannot see an adult make the sounds of words with their mouths and their tongue and their lips, that's not good for the kid. And we don't know what damage we've done. And even then, the dam was breaking, you know, the lockdowns. But before the pollsters could tell him what to do, Sangamon County Judge Raylene Grischkow issued her order stating that his school mask policy was, quote, null and void, because it wasn't rooted in law, only in Pritzker's feelings. Now, Pritzker, who wanted, and the other COVIDians, all of them, the fear porn mongers, all of them, it's just not him. They wanted the houses of worship shut, but they kept the liquor stores and casinos open, didn't they? He condemned the judge, saying she was out of step, and he vowed to fight her. A funny thing happened, because by then, other Democratic governors and mayors, other lockdown artists in blue states and blue cities began to get rid of the lockdowns, leaving Governor Commodius Maximus and Mayor Wokefoot behind and afraid. At first, Americans were hesitant. When the cage door opened, they were like zoo animals. Those zoo animals who've been in the cage too long. And when that door opens, they just turn their backs on it. Because they're afraid. Because they feared being beaten up by media, by pundits. You know, there are many liberal pundits like this now and other media personalities and political people. They just don't know what to do. How to take that exit ramp off the COVIDian highway after they've spent almost 2 years mocking and condemning parents and anyone else who wanted to live in spite of COVID. Yes, live. COVID is dangerous. It killed people. Many people. And I still don't know where it came from. Long time ago, Joe Biden said he would, you know, give the defense and intelligence communities 90 days to find out where it came from. Where did it come from, Joe? China, maybe? Where your son does business? I was listening to Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on The Morning Answer. I listen to them almost every morning. They talk about ideas. Radio doesn't talk about ideas. Anyway, they ran a tape from a school board meeting in Algonquin, Algonquin 300, of a parent, a mother of a special needs child, angry, frustrated, She vented. The school board president mocked her. Remember them. Remember the pundits and the politicians, all those fear porn salesmen. Remember how they condemn authoritarianism. And they call those they disagree with fascists. Yet they practice authoritarianism every day and tell you how to live and what to do and how to raise your kids and whether your kids belong to you or whether they belong to the state. Remember that you're an American. Today marks a change in the Chicago Way podcast, the only such podcast here, because we're coming to you from secret territory behind the Iron Blue Curtain. We're going to start coming to you two times a week because there's so much to talk about. And you can subscribe free to the Chicago Way wherever you get your podcasts. If you do so on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. And if you hate me, don't give us a 5-star review. Or you can listen to the podcast via podcast link at johncastnews.com. Sometimes I'll write a column about it. And usually those and the podcasts are always free. WGN's Jeff Carlin is the co-host here, as always. He's the best radio producer in Chicago. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief at John Cass News. And where are you with that cage door opening? Are you going to keep your back to it? Are you going to just sit there like a broken orangutan? Or will you face it and walk forward and out onto liberty? It is the road less traveled now, yes, but you're on it. You take one step and another, keeping your eyes open, your head up, remembering and reminding yourself that you are an American. And that's Zeus. So where are you? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So, Jeff Carlin, we embark on our new adventure, a podcast twice weekly, The Chicago Way. Are the people who are huddling behind the Iron Blue Curtain ready for this? Two podcasts a week?
Well, as we all know, winter is here behind the blue curtain, are cold and long and dark. So people have plenty of time to kill and listen to us blather on about what's wrong with the world and how we think we could fix it. But who's
and what's right with the world? You know, I don't want to get into one of these.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to always do like a negative. I want to do positive, but I just don't want to sound like a chumbalone or somebody who believes in fairy tales, you know, like, oh, John, why don't you write about the good people of the world? Yes, there are good people.
Yes.
But the bad people have to be outed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The bad people are the ones who are going to infect us adversely more quickly than those are doing good, as much as we love them.
Now, I don't know who is bad and who is good, but I got a feeling that when I was listening to Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson the other day, and I heard the mother talking about her child, and then the school board president mocking her, that kind of got to me.
Yeah, this is Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560 here in Chicago, Chicago's Morning Answer, which is, I believe it's, you got Salem, I think, is the flagship of that.
And you used to be you were Dan's producer.
Yeah, I was absolutely. I was produced for Dan when he was paired up with Bruce Wolf, which, as crazy as that sounds, it was some of the most entertaining, enlightening, and fun days of my life, because those guys were definitely different people from each other. I don't know about today, but yeah, it's and they do a great job on that show. They don't get enough credit for it, but they do push for a lot of, you know, people's rights, and it doesn't happen in a lot of other stations. You know, a lot of other stations just cover the news, which, as we all know, can be tainted by media, for lack of a better word, blind spots. And they do that, but it's more in depth. I think they do a good job with that show. And as most people may know or may not know, but Illinois, as Ted Dabrowski said last week, is ground zero for a lot of things, including mass debates currently, and the idea of should we be forcing kids, as John talked about in the monologue there, to wear masks. So here it is. Let's listen to this.
I hope that open revolt going on in Algonquin District 300 continues. The board president there is named David Scarpino.
Writing it down, David Scarpino.
And he was presiding over public comment, the public comment portion of the meeting. Here's a mom who got up to explain how deleterious the mandates have been for her kids, particularly one with a speech issue. And, you know, again, as we've talked about many times, being unable to see other people's mouths when they're mouthing words so as to advance his speech. Here's her comments.
So let's start from the beginning of my story. Just a little background on my kids. My 9-year-old currently has an IEP at HES. So he has struggled with school from day one. Now, add these last 2 years, and he has multiple grade levels behind. Can you blame him? I mean, he has a speech delay. How do you expect a child to learn a combined letter sound without seeing mouth movement? Yes. My 7-year-old, who is a very active little boy and at 2 years ago loves school. I mean, technically, he hasn't had only one good year at HES, but if you ask him, that was his best year ever. He thinks his teachers, he has a problem with wearing the mask, and he thinks his teachers don't like him, and he has a very hard time with the mask on. But now let's get down to the problems as this district has created for my family. My 9-year-old has been in close contact 3 times this year. Ugh. 3 times. Every time this has happened, instead of you guys actually giving me solid facts of what's happening about the quarantine effect or the amount of close contact that actually do get ill with COVID, you guys throw your legal counsel on me. The district gives me legal counsel and denies access to school and tells my son he has to quarantine for 5 to 10 days. Even healthy, no test to stay program is available either. So my healthy child has to stay home for 5 to 10 days, now losing valuable educational instruction, and I have to miss work. I know you've heard it all, right? So let's get down to the nitty gritty of what happened today. Today, February 8th, my son masked, but is still allowing kids to choose to be a part of the school. Our district today decided to segregate my child refusing a mask. Do you know what segregation is? Did you hear that word? Segregation. Let me go over the definition for you real quick. The action or state of setting someone or something apart from the other people or things being set apart. But the district decided to word it differently so it sounded better. Called it an alternative setting. But let me tell you, it was clear cut today that you segregated my kids for refusing to wear a mask. A piece of cloth the scientists are now telling us are void and don't work. Today went as far as denying my child recess time outside like the rest of his peers. My 9-year-old didn't receive any minutes from his IEP. Neither of my children received any educational instruction today, denying them the basic rights of education. But this district promises that they will follow.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker, number 12, Christina, don't, you're going to be out of order. You're going to be out of order. I'm warning.
What did you think of that mom weeping there? And then the bell goes off and she's told to keep her mouth shut.
Hey, we were talking about being positive and optimistic, as Don and Wade and Romeo used to say. It's heartbreaking. I mean, that kid obviously is going to have issues and is going to be struggling for the foreseeable future. There's no doubt. You could hear her struggle. You could feel her struggle. And it just crushes me because you know that the she's dealing with is not unique to her specifically as much as it is universal to many parents. And we had Paul Vallis on talking about this during the pandemic when it was starting. And one of the things we were worried about, you had to keep an eye on, that these kids weren't going to be getting what they needed, especially kids who need more than more other kids.
Right.
And the foresight on some of these things is just, what's the most tenable and convenient way to deal with it for those who have to execute, i.e. the board, teachers, whoever, and doesn't look at the whole picture and what that's going to really do to anybody. There's no thought about making it, you know, practical, executable. It's just about easiest, least hassle. Let's get this done. And I know it's a terrible situation for everybody. I couldn't imagine trying to be in charge of a situation like this. It's very hard, but I do know that I would certainly...
You would hope that you had some compassion.
Compassion, right. I get it. The board president there, they've probably got... She was calling number 12, like at the deli. I'm sure he was going to go through number 70. I mean, these board meetings we've seen across the country are madhouses at times and are tough to control. But come on, man. she's breaking down in front of you.
We've seen the CDC and others say, we'll do this policy because this is as much as they can handle.
Right.
That phrase, as much as they can handle, is not science.
Right.
That's politics.
Opinion. It's opinion.
I just want you to hear the rest of it now that we've heard the mom and heard her not, you know, cut short by the bell. And I understand that people have to, you know, you can't have someone talk for, you know, 20 minutes.
Right.
But listen to what David Scarpino, the board president in Algonquin, says to those who are upset about it.
I just want to remind folks, I understand you're performing for TV and everything. Ooh. I get that. But please, 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 I will find you out of order, sir. Sir, that's it. Remove him. He's done.
Oh, my God.
He's done. He's done. Our next speaker.
Jeff, you know, as you know, I'm a physical coward, you know.
Your voice speaks volumes and swings mighty a fist. So do your words, John.
Jeff, if someone faked a punch to my belly, I'd get a triple hernia in the side. You know, I'd pass out. But even so, if somebody talked to my wife that way, I'd go down there and grab him by the hair and slap him around the room. I swear to God, you don't talk to my, like if my kid. If I had a child who was a special needs student stuck in a mask and this guy's saying that my wife would be performing for the television cameras,
that's
what I'm talking about. This is what drives me insane, because you give these people a little power and they just go too far. That's why our founding fathers understood human behavior.
Yeah.
That's why they limited the power of government. But in Illinois, we want government, you know, coming out of our ears.
We have bureaucracy for our bureaucracy, John. Right. You know what crushes me about that jackass in Algonquin? And I'll call him a jackass because for two reasons. First reason, he ran for a school board. He chose to be the president. He wanted this. This is something he was trying to do, because in this state, I'm not specifics on the Algonquin because I don't really want to waste my time on him, but in many places there's either a little perks, or there's some sort of pay, or there's you're running for of power, whatever it is. Most of them aren't getting paid, but there are perks to it, right? So you run for you want to have that power, right? So he chose this.
So you could run for the state legislature.
Right, exactly.
That's what they do.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So that's my first problem with it. So, sir, if you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. Point number two is that you didn't have to say performing for the television. You could have easily finished that thought with, so please understand that why I have to move these things along.
Right.
That would have been the decorum I'd expect from somebody who chose to run for board president. And it's that level of arrogancy with people in political power and public power in this state that it just irks the crap out of me. And I know it boils your blood, John.
I'm asking people in the monologue, I ask people to remember two things. You're Americans,
mm-hmm.
and remember their names. Remember every pundit, every pundit who mocked you. Remember every politician, elected official who told you, mocked you and shook their finger in your face and then went out without a mask and got their hair done or whatever they did. I got to get my roots done because I'm the face of Chicago, Lori. Or Stacey Abrams. Did you see that picture?
Yeah, I did. Yep. Stacey Abrams, you know, at some school. Everybody.
What?
She's at a school unmasked herself, but everybody around her is wearing a mask. I mean, that's the thing.
They're the children wearing masks because they are her, what, serfs?
Apparently. I don't know. Here, I'll pose you a question, John.
Yeah.
Do we feel that majority of people didn't know that, don't really realize what's going on in behind closed doors and political offices and how they feel about the people they rule over? Or do we feel that if they know what's happening, they know it's fixed, but the roads are paved and the buses are on time, that they don't care? Because that's how I feel like the first daily rain was, where people knew what was going on. There was no secret that if you wanted something done, you had to go meet somebody and hey, how you doing? And get it paid for. But at least during the Elder Daily, and again, most white people, most middle class people certainly benefited in one way or another.
Well, I'm not going to say that he was perfect. And the old man Daily, there was a lot of things, you know, like I remember he called everybody who wasn't Bridgeport Irish Polack. If you were like North Side Irish, Italian, you were Polack. Whatever the poll thing,
said it. Yeah, but to my point, at least you knew what you was a known as to steal.
But he loved the city, and it wasn't. You know what, Jeff? In a way, it was like the old time corruption was individual. You know, like if you had a gas station and you needed a curb cut, you duke your $1,500 to your alderman in cash, something like that. I could get that. Because the gas station guy would rather pay that bribe than go through the bureaucracy. What we're seeing now is the great corporations vesting, you know, and being intertwined with government.
Yeah.
I think you called that we called that fascism in the 30s, where they
de jure fascism, John. It's de jure, not de facto. Remember, that's a difference.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't speak French, sorry. But that was a good segue to there's a daily on trial in Chicago.
Hell hath frozen over.
When that guy, you know, I wrote about it this week.
Yeah.
I was at Jimmy's place enjoying my, you know, spicy shrimp and grits out in Juicio land. And he comes up and he says, "Hey, John Cass, can I ask you a question? What about the dailies?" And I'm like, man, I had put them out of my mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there he is. What do you think?
Yeah, Patrick Daly Thompson, right? The nephew, right?
Right.
Of the Daly Jr., the younger Daly, right?
Grandson of the
right.
boss.
Right, yeah, and the grandson. And I do love that he's also, a Daly Thompson to pay homage to the old lineage of Thompson influence in this state. And city, you couldn't brand somebody better.
Is he related to the?
I have no idea. But it just
Al Capone's mayor or Paul Rica's mayor?
Paul Rica's, big right. Bill Thompson, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's
the Swede. I don't know. But it's perfect branding for Chicago. It's very Chicago way. But yeah, he's on trial for the facing. It's like essentially the actual charges are a tax fraud. I mean, bank fraud, tax fraud, wire
tax fraud. Tax fraud and lying to federal.
Right. And then, that's where it started. So his bank went under. People probably saw it in John's column. And it's a crazy case that it's getting no play. Like, I mean, this thing has been building to this point.
I praise reporters in this column, the recent column on Daily.
Yeah.
Jason Meissner and Tim Novak from the Sun-Times. Meissner, he's my buddy and... he's really good, and Tim Novak is at the Sun-Times.
Certainly the sign of the end of times, John, that there is a daily on trial in Chicago. That's my read on it.
Whether he goes down or not, I don't know. But I just can't believe it would ever happen. I mean, you've had governors go on trial, go to prison, never once a mayor of Chicago. Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
I guess that's because they're morally virtuous and they have the magic fairy dust, you know?
Exactly. And John, before we go, speaking of end of times, I do have a little something I want to share with the audience. There's this thing called the Aztec Death Whistle. It's something that was discovered in like 2018. And it's been thought of as, you know, being this whistle or thing you'd blow through. And it has the face of a creature at the bottom, a tube extending from its head. And through like the nostrils of the creature, the air would flow out. And it's supposed to be allegedly something they would use for sacrifices because it was obviously very important to them at the time. It's been remodeled and rebuilt. And in theory, we now know what it sounds like.
This is the dead whistle.
It sounds exactly what you think a death whistle would sound like someone screaming as they're being killed.
It sounds like what I feel exactly like that when I have to listen to, you know, like say Rachel Maddow on TV. It's just in my head, you know.
Exactly.
Or that's, Lindsey, you know, better yet, Lindsey Graham, the Republican. Every time I see that weasel, I'm thinking, what war do you want to us to get into now?
Well, I feel the same way about Mitch McConnell most days.
Oh yeah. Oh wait. Okay, I got to ask you something. Can we just play the death whistle for Nancy Pelosi and Congress since they're
sacrificing?
They like to trade on stocks.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's something you and I have talked about many times. But if anybody should read the book "Throw Them All Out" by Peter Schweitzer, it's an enlightening understanding of how every politician in Congress is a millionaire within 2 or 3 years of becoming a member of Congress on average.
So that was our new podcast. And remember this, everybody, get Valentine's Day stuff for your sweetheart because, you know, they'll say they don't care about it, but, you know, they do.
Yeah.
And I know Jeff is going to get something for the lovely Christine.
Yes. Because
they're still newlyweds.
And because I'm a sensitive guy, John. Come on.
Me too, man.
I know.
Last night at dinner, Betty was telling me what I can and cannot write about Valentine's Day. I said, well,
she's very wise.
Well, she's like, I'm like, what? You mean like when we, like the motel? She's like, no, don't. No, nothing about that. So we had a whole thing, but you're going to have to read about it because I can't.
Don't divulge, yeah. Watch this space. But on that, John, too, yeah, we kind of changed our format a little bit here. Moving forward, we'll be doing two podcasts a week. One will be more like this, and then we'll do an interview podcast a week with someone who's making news or explaining something or understanding, you know, someone like Peter Schweitzer. So check that out. Subscribe, tell your friends, share with your family. Even if you don't like it, tell them anyway.
And remember this, if you'd like to be a sponsor, email John at johncastnews.com, put sponsorship in the subject line, and we'll get all these together and let Jeff Carlin pick them out of a hat or something. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, master of pies, friend of cats, married to the lovely Christine, and he will not forget her Valentine. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief at johncassnews.com, and husband to Betty, and I think I'm just going to have to give her a Valentine's Day written because I can't make anything out of construction paper. So I'd have to just type it out. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast. See you next time.
This is the dead whistle.